St. John chapter 1, 2 verses. Verse 4 and verse 5, just 2 verses today. In him, talking about the word of Yah, in him was life. Somebody say life.
Life.
In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And verse 5 says, and the light, it's in the Bible, shine in
darkness.
And here is a very interesting line. And the darkness comprehended it. Let's use the word understood it or received it.
Not.
In him was life. And the Bible says, and the life was the light of men. And that's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about Yahushua, the light. You may be seated. Yahushua is the light. In him, the word. In him was life. And that life was the light of men. Later we're going to discover the Bible says that he was the true light that lighted every man that come into the world. In him was light. John's gospel begins with what we call theological, philosophical information, that the Bible itself has its own philosophy. While we study philosophy, we come to know that normally philosophy is one man's opinion versus another. But John, being a Hebrew, he opens his gospel dealing with, combating some false ideas and philosophies concerning our Heavenly Father Yahuwah and his only begotten Son Yahushua. Number one, he wants us to know philosophically and truthfully, I'll use that term from here on out, he wants you to know a fact, is that we don't believe in two gods.
Amen.
Starts off by saying, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Yah, and the Word was Yah. Right off the bat, he wants you to know there is no such thing as two gods. Why? Because he's getting ready to introduce us to somebody who is Yah made flesh, and he does not want, whoever this character is, he does not want this person to be looked at, now help me, watch this, as another God. He wants you to know Yahushua as God or our Elohim. He told us in the beginning was the Word was with Yah, and the Word was Yah. So we know the Word was Yah. The same was in the beginning. We know the Word is eternal. All things were made by him, so we know that he is the creator of everything that has been and that is created. And there was not anything made, anything without him that was made. So we know that he made everything. Nothing was made without him. The only creator is Yahweh, the Heavenly Father. So if the Word is the creator, then the Word also must be Yahweh or Yahuwah made flesh. But when we get to verse 4, It says, in him, still talking about the word, was life. Isn't that an interesting phrase? In him was life. It almost implies to us that he was alive, that he was alive. But what is that to tell us that this man was alive? Because when we survey earth, we see that life is in a lot of stuff. We see a tree, and we know if the tree is putting on leaves and fruit, that in that tree is life. We see a bird, if it's flying, we say in that bird is life. If we see grass and it's flourishing, we say in that grass is life. We see a baby and she's crying, we say that baby, in that baby is life. So why would he talk about Yahushua and say in him was life? It's obvious if he was alive, he had life. Here is where John is going with this. John is saying that he, the Word, watch this, possessed the essence of life itself. Not that he was just alive, but watch this, but that he owned life. That life is his thing. That he's the originator of life. That he's the source, if you please, of all life. It's not just the possessor himself of life, but that he's the one who gives life. It is, it's reflective of the Heavenly Father whose name is Yahuwah. And that word Yahuwah or Yahweh represents, watch this now, the self living one. You see, the difference between Yah and us is that we need him to live. But you do know he can live without us.
Amen.
He told Pharaoh through the mouth of Moshe, I am that I am. John is really saying this. In him is life. He's saying he is Yahweh made flesh. He's the I am. Watch this. Verse 4. And the life, there it is right there, talking about the life that he had inside of him, was the light, L-I-G-H-T, of man. Wait a minute, hold on. The light that he had is the light of all mankind. Now don't lose me, I told you John here is going deep theologically. He's talking about essence here. You see, life, my brothers and my sisters, is a key thing in the gospel. He uses this word at least 36 times in this one book.
Amen.
So in order to grasp what he's talking about, we've got to understand that human life, or may I say it like this, life period, is depending all the time on Yahuwah or Yahweh. Because he possesses the life. If he doesn't give life, we won't have life. And this life is the light of man. Now, why is that important that we get this word light? Because there's a few things on planet Earth that life is dependent on. Say it again. We have a few things here on this planet that life is dependent on. If we're going to have anything that's alive, you got to have at least these four things. You got to have light, air, water, and food. If you don't have some light, some air, some water, and food, you die.
Amen.
But watch this. Air, water, and food is dependent on the light. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You see, if the sun goes out, baby, it's all bad. If the sun stops shining, don't worry about the air. All that worry about pollution. If the sun quits shining, I don't care how much you recycle, it's over. If the sun stops shining, then this water war that we're fighting here in California becomes null and void if the sun stops shining. If the sun stops shining, we don't have to worry about GMOs in our food. We don't have to worry about eating clean. If the sun stops shining, we ain't got to worry about whether or not the eggs are organic, the cows are grazing. If the sun stops, am I in the room?
Come on.
If the sun stops shining, then all life on planet Earth dies. This is what John is saying in his gospel. That Yeshua's life is the light source for all human beings and everything on planet Earth. If he stops shining, the world as we know it, Earth as we know it, existence as we know it, is over. Again, we're not talking about a lesser God. That's the whole point of the introduction of the book of St. John. He's saying, when I introduce this person to you, and I actually tell you that he became flesh, I want you to know who he was before he put on flesh. I want you to know that he is the life source of all creation. As a matter of fact, he is to us what the sun, S-U-N, is to this world. As a matter of fact, he's called the Son of Righteousness. Open your Bibles with me to Malachi chapter 4. Don't believe me. Always in all you're getting, get you understanding, children of Zion. In other words, check out your preacher and make sure when he makes a statement, he's making a statement from the book. For behold, the day cometh, verse 1, chapter 4, Malachi, that shall burn as an oven. And all the proud, is that right there? Yeah. And all they, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. Do you see it in your Bible? And they, and the day that cometh, that means it's on its way, that's the day of judgment, shall burn them up, saith Yahuwah of armies, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. Verse 2. But, I'm going to have to get out y'all way. But, the Bible says, unto you that fear my name, are you looking at it with me? That should be me and you, right? The Son of Righteousness. Do you see it in your manuscript? Son of Righteousness. It should be capitalized so that you will know that we are talking about Yahushua. It is prophetic. We're talking about the Hamashiach, the Messiah. The Son of Righteousness shall arise, woo-wee, with healing in his wings.
That's right. Amen.
And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves in the stall. That's enough. One verse is good enough to show you that our Hamashiach is called in Malachi the Son of Righteousness. Again, if the sun stops shining, then we are in a whole lot of trouble.
Amen.
My brothers and my sisters, as the light source, he is also the life source. And at the same time as the life source, he is also the light source. The one that's giving the life is the one that's also providing the light. So the one that has given us the light is the same one that gave us life. Now, who gave us light? According to Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says, in the beginning, our Elohim created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was at one time without form, and it was empty, void. And there was darkness only upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of Yah hovered over the face of the waters, over the face of the deep. And Yah said, let there be, talk back. Let there be light. So Yah, our Elohim, is the creator of light itself, which then allows us to exist on planet Earth by giving us our atmosphere, our water, and our food, our sustenance. So watch this. The giver of light is also the author of life. Notice we got the light before we got life. The light came, then we got life. In other words, he didn't create the birds and the fish, the birds of the air, the fowls of the air, and the fish of the sea when it was still dark on the planet. No, he first gave us light. And once the light separated from darkness, it was then that he began to put life on planet Earth. Can you see John telling us in no uncertain terms that Yahushua is Yahweh in the flesh? Can you see it now? He's attributing to Yeshua the exact same attribute that Moses attributed to Yahuwah in Genesis. I said a lot. I said a lot. So let me say it again. St. John, Yochanan, in his gospel, is attributing to Yahushua the word, the exact same attributes in the opening of his gospel as Moses attributed to Yahweh in the opening of the Torah. Creator, maker, light, and life. He not only has life, he's the author of life.
Amen.
And let me give you this. Believe it or not, I'm already coming to my close. Light and darkness is a recurring theme in the book of St. John. Let me share something with you. God, who is our Elohim, Yahweh, is always pictured as light, While Satan, the devil, the Hasatan, the enemy, is referred to as the power of darkness. So what we have in the Bible is a very strange phenomenon. Light represents Yah, darkness represents the devil. But when we study the Bible, we learn something really strange. Don't lose me. That men that represent mankind love darkness rather than light. Wait a minute. Are you trying to tell me that people actually like darkness? Oh, yeah, they do. They like darkness. They like being ignorant. They like being in the dark. They like evilness. They like mischievousness. They like backroom deals. They like putting in to the contract very, very small print. Are y'all still with me here?
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to say it's something about our nature. We like darkness. We like operating not under the light of Yahuwah, but under the darkness of the devil. We like talking about folk. Watch this. Not to their face. What do we like to talk about people? Behind their, come on, talk back to me, preacher. Behind their back. Why? Because we like that shady stuff rather than the light. Why? Because anybody who comes to the light, yeah, they get exposed. And when you're exposed, you get a chance to see that your deeds are indeed evil. John 3:16-19, you will discover that people are either in the light or in the darkness. That's just the way it is. And whether you love Yah, you're going to gravitate to the light. When you love the devil, you're going to gravitate toward that which is dark. So we then who believe are the sons of light. John 12:35. And just as the first creation began with light, so does the new creation in us begin with us walking in the light. Don't lose me when I made that statement. I want to make it again. Just like Yah started everything with light, when we get saved or converted or born again, the very first thing that has to happen is we now must now walk in the newness of life, which is this Bible. Now, I'm not trying to put nobody down. Please don't take this like that. Because I'm in the same boat as you. We're in a fellowship. All fellas in the same ship, in the same ship. You know it's possible to be a member of the church, have your name on the roll, and walk in darkness. As long as we do not have a proper working knowledge of this book, the Bible, which is the word of Yah, then our lives will be dark. Because this word and this word alone is the light, now watch this, that cometh into the world to give light to every man. That's why here at the Bible Fellowship Church, we're going to study the whole Bible. I don't believe in this picking and choosing what we're going to study. No, no. Y'all didn't give us a Bible and say, now here's a part you should read, and here's a part that you shouldn't read, and here's a part that you shouldn't know, and here's a part you ain't got to know. No. This Bible represents the light that has come into the world. But the record is, the light came, I'm closing, into the world, but the world or men could not comprehend it. Isn't it interesting that folk can comprehend evil?
Yeah.
It's just like that. But it takes them a while to see something good. People are quick to learn that which is untrue, but it's slow to come to truth. when Yahushua came into the world, it was as though these words took on human flesh and walked among us as the light of the whole world. As a matter of fact, he actually declared that he, as long as he was in the world, he was the light of the world.
Right.
Now you would think, I'm 25 minutes in, let me get out. You would think that blind sinners who've been bumping their heads and tripping and falling would see light and come to the light. But the truth is, light always brings conflict with darkness. So wherever light comes, there's always going to be a war between that which is light and that which is dark. I'm going to make that more plain. Whenever truth comes, there's going to be a war between that which is true and that which is false. Whenever good comes, there will be a war between that which is good and that which is bad. And the light, verse 5, and thank you for being kind, and the light shine. Let me say it in a literal translation. And the light keeps on shining. I love it. That's what he says. In the literal translation, it says, and the light, there it is, keeps on shining in the darkness. What do you mean? You see, the light doesn't care about darkness. The light just keeps on shining. In other words, the light's not afraid of the darkness. The light is not intimidated by the darkness. The light does not retreat from the darkness. The light just keeps on, talk about shining. Yeah, there it is. The light just keeps on shining. That's why, my brothers and my sisters, when we accept the HaMashiach, we are to allow him to become the light of our lives. And no matter what, you got to keep on shining. Through sickness, through pain, through poverty, through misunderstanding, through difficult times, through dark days and long nights, the light must keep on shining. I'm so glad that Yeshua allowed his light to just keep on shining. They talked about him, but he let his light keep on shining. They misunderstood him, but he kept his light shining. And you know, as you read the record, he actually came to his own, but his own received him not. But that didn't stop his light from shining. And as a result, as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the Son of the Most High Yah. That's why I'm grateful that even facing Calvary, he didn't stop shining the light. No, he even shined the light of truth from the cross while giving his life for you and me.
Amen.
He was buried, light still shining. And early Sunday morning, well, it was like this. Don't say early Sunday. It's going to throw folk off. Early, the third day, according to the scripture, he rose from the dead with all power in his hand. Now watch this. And he's been shining ever since. How do you think I got saved? 2,000 years later. Because the light kept on shining in the darkness. As a sinner, I heard the sermon about the light of the world. And I came out of darkness into his marvelous, marvelous light. And may I say this, darkness shall not overcome the light. Darkness shall not win out over the light. Even though darkness does not understand the light, eventually the light will prevail. And hallelujah, light has power. It's able to penetrate the darkness of this world. It's able to penetrate the darkness of our mind. Light is able to penetrate the darkness of our heart. And the true light in Yahushua HaMashiach gives us new life. Yeah. Everything he does for us is new. I'm going to give you these and I'm taking my seat. Every time Yeshua spoke, people misunderstood him because their minds were darkened by confusion and misunderstanding. Every time he made a statement about something, they could only see through dark lenses. And oftentimes they misunderstood him. In John chapter 2, verse 19, he cleansed his father's temple and they said, "Give us a sign of the authority that you have to do this." And he said, "Destroy this temple and in 3 days I'll raise it up again." They thought he was talking about a physical temple in Jerusalem. John said their minds were darkened. The truth is he was talking about his body that would be raised up again from the dead. In John chapter 3, he tells a leader of the Jews, of the Hebrew people, he tells him, he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, you must be born again." But because his mind was dark, he said, "Can I, as a man, grown man, enter again into my mother's womb that I might be born again?" Again, misunderstanding the light. First of all, that's gross. Second of all, it's impossible. He was talking about the new birth that comes by the Spirit. He talked in chapter 4 to a woman who was sitting on a well. And he said unto her, "I have water that if you drink of this water, you will never thirst again." Y'all remember that? And she said, "Sir, even so, give me that water so I don't have to come up here with no bucket." She misunderstood that he was talking about the water of the word. He told the Pharisees in John chapter 8, he says, "In me is freedom. He who the Son makes free is free indeed." And you know what they came back and said to him? They said, "We ain't never been a slave. How can you talk to us about freedom?" He said, "I'm not talking about that kind of slavery. I'm talking about," again, misunderstanding because of darkness. Even when Lazarus had died, he said, "He's asleep. I'm going to go wake him up." And they said, "No, don't wake him up if he's asleep. If he's asleep, he's doing good." He said, "Whoo, y'all miss it every single time. How come every time I make a statement, you misunderstand what I'm saying? I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." He is the illumination to the spiritual truths recorded in the Word. If we want to understand this Bible, we have to first understand who he is. Every head bowed and every eye closed. What does Satan want to do? More than anything, he wants to keep you in darkness. He wants to keep you confused. He wants to keep you depressed. He wants to keep the veil over your eyes because he knows if he can keep you out of the Bible, he can keep you out of the Word. It definitely means then that you die and go to hell. But I'm so glad that the light is still shining. And we ought to walk in the light. Heavenly Father, we actually rebuke the power of Hasatan to try to keep your people in darkness when you are the possessor of life that is the light. Allow us to be walking lights, living lights. Those that are in darkness may come out of darkness and also walk in the newness of life. If there's one person here that's not a believer, I pray that this is the day that they come out of the darkness into the light and receive the life that only you can give. In the name of Yahushua, our HaMashiach. Amen. Shalom.